caustic commentary. Sally Fallon Morrell takes on the diet dictocrats. Important numbers. Here are two important numbers to remember. 7 and 193. As revealed by study author Nicholas Hulscher, focalpoints.com, February 17, 2026, 7 is the number of U.S. deaths from measles since 1995. 193 is the number of deaths from the MMR and MMRV vaccines given to prevent measles, reported to VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, during the same period. That's almost 30 times more deaths from the vaccine than from the disease the vaccine is supposed to prevent. The reality is almost certainly worse, because it's estimated that only about 1% of adverse effects are reported to VAERS. That means that the measles vaccine may be causing almost 3,000 times more deaths than measles itself. The report noted that the deaths were heavily concentrated in the routine first dose window and tightly clustered in the days immediately following vaccination. No eating Z-bugs. Insect, the largest insect production company in Europe, was just declared bankrupt, in spite of investments surpassing $600 million, including almost $200 million in public funds. Described as another blow to the creepy crawly globalists trying to force the peasants to eat beetles instead of beef, the main focus of the company was actually animal feed. The idea was to offer an alternative to proteins like fish meal and soy. But the vision came full stop against market realities. Animal feed is a commodity market driven by price, not sustainability premiums. Company planners believed that insect protein would be completely circular, with insects-fed food waste that would otherwise end up in landfill. But in practice, industrial-scale insect production typically ends up relying on grain byproducts already usable as feed, meaning insect protein simply adds a costly additional step. For animal feed, the calculations simply didn't add up. Although Iron Man star Robert Downey Jr. extolled the merits of insects on The Late Show during the 2021 Super Bowl weekend, the venture turned into one of the most expensive industrial flops of the decade. And even though the company envisioned that 10-15% of the product would find acceptance as human food, it's clear that Westerners from first world countries are not voluntarily going to switch from meat to bugs so long as they have any choice. Globalists always love to blather about how Asian nations serve insects as street food, delicacies, or entrees. But they never mention that the people selling and eating the bugs are by and large very poor. If you can't afford pork, chicken, or beef, you'll eat whatever protein you can get, especially if it's plentiful, like insects. But when people have a choice, only a very small number of them will willingly eat worms, scorpions, and ants instead of hamburgers, roast chicken, and bacon. Certainly, the elites never follow their own advice by cutting meat entirely in favor of crickets and grasshoppers, and globalists have not yet succeeded in so impoverishing and crushing European citizens that most of them cannot afford meat and have to grub up alternatives. So naturally, the insect production company went out of business. PJmedia.com, December 30th, 2025. Butter sale. November 2025 saw a record of almost 250 million pounds of butter purchased by Americans, up 22% from 2023. Yearly production has surpassed 2 billion pounds, yet butter prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, CME, have reached unprecedented levels, a classic struggle of limited supply versus massive demand. According to the bullvine.com, January 13, 2025, a website for professionals in the dairy business, these trends impact the whole dairy sector. Indeed, they do. The dairy industry does not want you to buy butter, and not whole milk either, for which sales are also trending up. The industry makes far more money from butterfat when it is put into ice cream, or from whole milk when it is made into cheese, especially when you add in extremely profitable whey powder. Rising demand for butter and whole milk presents a real dilemma for the dairy industry, which is predicated on consumers following a virtuous low-fat diet all day and ending up starving for ice cream in the evening. Big changes will be needed as consumers embrace the nourishing full-fat diets of their ancestors, like transitioning the national herd into Jersey cows and away from Holsteins. But this will take time. Meanwhile, expect butter prices to rise and more efforts to produce expensive ice cream-like products made without any butterfat at all. whole milk over skim. While the dietitians are sticking to their skim milk story, lots of recent research supports the consumption of whole milk over skim. For example, a 2017 study published in Preventive Medicine Reports found that full-fat milk consumption protects against severe childhood obesity in Latinos, a population with a disproportionate burden of obesity and severe obesity. A 25-year prospective cohort study published in Neurology 2026 found that higher intake of high-fat cheese and high-fat cream, but not other dairy products, was associated with a lower risk of all-cause dementia and Alzheimer's. Finally, people who consumed greater amounts of whole-fat dairy products were less likely to have early signs of heart disease, according to a new study from the Minnesota School of Public Health. The finding, said the researchers, challenges long-standing dietary advice to avoid whole-fat dairy products. Journal of Nutrition, 2025. These studies support the new government policy to allow full-fat milk in school lunches. Protection with beef fat. Old-timers often followed the folk wisdom of eating a high-fat meal before a night on the town. It turns out that such a practice is supported by the science. In a study with rats, scientists looked at alcoholic liver disease, ALD, when the animals were given alcohol, ethanol, with lard, tallow, or corn oil over a period of 2 to 6 months, Alcoholic Clinical Experimental Research, 1989. Rats that got alcohol with tallow did not develop ALD. Those that got alcohol with lard developed minimal to moderate disease. But the rats fed alcohol and corn oil developed the most severe pathology. The degree of abnormality correlated with the linoleic acid, polyunsaturated, content of the diet. Tallow at 0.7%, lard at 2.5%, and corn oil at 56.6%. The replacement of animal fats with vegetable oils in recent times may explain why our parents and grandparents seem to have a much greater tolerance for alcohol than this generation. Not that we recommend heavy drinking, but just saying. A tragic tale. In 2017, medical journalist Del Bigtree challenged Dr. Marcus Zervos of Henry Ford Health to conduct the most comprehensive vaccinated versus unvaccinated study ever undertaken. The results remained hidden until Bigtree captured Dr. Zervos on hidden camera, admitting that publishing his completed study would end his career. Now the results are out, and they tell a tragic tale. The study involved over 18,000 children enrolled in Henry Ford Health's insurance plan in Michigan. Vaccinated children had 4.29 times the rate of asthma, 3.03 times the rate of atopic disease, a group of allergic conditions, 5.96 times the rate of autoimmune disease, and 5.53 times the rate of neurodevelopmental disorder. Most remarkably, among nearly 2,000 unvaccinated children, there were 0 cases of ADHD compared to 262 cases in the vaccinated group. By age 10, only 43% of vaccinated children remained free from chronic health conditions compared to 83% of unvaccinated, publichealthpolicyjournal.com. Stopping SIDS. Henry Ford Health didn't look at sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, but pediatrician Paul Thomas did. In an interview with CHD.TV, he described 6 SIDS studies that looked at when infants died relative to when they got a vaccine. 75% to 90% of all SIDS happened within 1 week of a vaccination, while the remaining 3% of infant deaths happened between 10 and 20 days after vaccination. He noted that the countries that have the most infant vaccines have the highest infant mortality. In the U.S., we do nothing about this slaughter of the innocents, but the Japanese did something about it. Noting that sudden infant deaths were surging in Japan during the 1970s, 1980s, and early 1990s, in 1994, the government raised the age of vaccination to 2. Then, poof, the SIDS crisis disappeared. We don't think that children should get vaccinations at any age, but giving them before the age of 2 constitutes reckless child endangerment, also known as murder. SlayNews.com, June 27, 2025. Coincidences? In July 2025, 8 children were hospitalized after seizure-like symptoms at a church concert in Harvard Square. ABCNews.com, July 23, 2025. Over 200 cell towers and 3,500 antennas are located within a 3-mile radius of the church. Combine that with Wi-Fi inside the church and over 50 cell phones among those in the audience, and a possible explanation presents itself. A deadly flu-like disease has claimed the lives of up to 150 people in the Republic of Congo, beginning in late October 2025. Telecommunications companies had been installing 5G in the ROC throughout the previous year. EnergyCapitalPower.com, October 25, 2024. A type of brain cancer called glioblastoma has increased 230% in young people, ages 15 to 39, during the last 20 years in France. Santé Publique France.fr, March 3, 2025. This is the age group with the heaviest cell phone use. Coincidences? We think not. When will the medical establishment connect these dots? Unfortunately, not anytime soon. Junk food and disease. Research links ultra-processed foods, formerly called junk foods, such as candies, chips, donuts, cookies, breakfast cereals, fried foods, and sodas, with an increased risk of 32 negative health outcomes, including cancer, mental health conditions, diabetes, and early death. The researchers of this paper, published in 2024 in the American Journal of Medicine, conducted a review of 45 pooled meta-analyses from 14 articles associating ultra-processed foods with adverse health outcomes. The data revealed a 50% increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease, about a 50% higher risk of anxiety and other common mental disorders, a 12% increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and a 21% greater risk of death from any cause. The article blames added sugar and excessive amounts of fat and salt. Sugar for sure, but there is no animal fat in these ultra-processed foods, only industrial seed oils. The salt is refined, but not particularly harmful. Anything to vector the blame away from polyunsaturated oils to innocent animal fats. Fluoridation hoax. Most municipal water receives treatment to add a fluoride compound, usually toxic fluorosilicic acid, based on the theory that fluoride can prevent cavities, even in those who eat a lot of sugar. The man responsible for this atrocity was the chemist Gerald Cox, who, working for the Sugar Fellowship at the Mellon Institute of Industrial Research, conducted studies to find a substance that would protect against dental caries. During the first 5 years of his research, he found that many dietary items in the maternal rat diet protected against caries in the offspring, including halibut liver oil, butter, milk, whey concentrate, a high-fat diet, a meat diet, and increased calcium and phosphorus. He also looked at fluoride, a waste product of the aluminum industry. The Mellon family dominated aluminum production in the U.S., and claimed that fluoride reduced decay by about 20%, less than many of the diet items. From 1941 on, Cox promoted fluoride as an answer to preventing tooth decay, giving the sugar industry the magic bullet they were seeking. Later, he took a job at the Corn Products Refining Company, makers of dextrose, corn sugar, and sweet malt syrups. He ended up in a position at the University of Pittsburgh Dental School, where he could continue his promotion of fluoride. The sugar industry had their man in the right place to cover up what Dr. Weston Price discovered, that cavities are the direct result of refined carbohydrates, especially white sugar. ZeroHedge.com, October 9, 2025.